Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, October 1st, 2018. I am the spooky John Abaya. And joining me today is the frightening wife of mine, Audrey Abaya. My wife, my sunshine.
Hi.
Yes.
I don't know, I can't be Scare Ghost.
No. You can't be not everyone could be Casper. Well, he's not scary.
He's a friendly.
He's a friendly ghost. Yes. Before we begin, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions on what we watched, listened, played, and read throughout the week. We usually begin with the episode with a trailer talk and conclude the episode with the main discussion. This main discussion is a movie that came out 2 to 3 weeks ago called The Nun. Yes, the part of the James Wan Conjuring franchise universe series of horror movies that let's put them in order. There's Conjuring.
No, it's The Nun.
No, in order. Not in timeline order. Conjuring. Conjuring 2, I believe, came? No, maybe it's Conjuring, Annabelle, Conjuring 2, Annabelle Creations, and then The Nun. In that order. If you want to go timeline-wise, I believe it's The Nun, Annabelle
Creations,
Annabelle, Conjuring 1 and Conjuring 2. But yes, that will be our main discussion, Conjuring 2. Oh, no, Nun, just kidding. Oh, I got you guys, it's The Nun. Before that, how are you?
I'm doing good.
If you're surprised, yes, it's been almost 2 months from our last episode. We haven't done anything. We've been busy. Mostly my brother, Ben, the original host of the podcast. He's been planning a wedding. He's getting married at near the end of the month. So that's exciting. Maybe we'll go back to our regularly scheduled program and do some episodes. I've been helping him most of the time. We've been doing like these top secret filming locations around our city, and it's mostly on weekends. We both work on weekdays, and we can't really do that on the weekday. So we're finding most of our time in the weekend just filming stuff. And yeah, how about you? How are you? Last 2 months.
Last 2 months.
Or the last time we've spoken on the episode. That's the last time we spoke. People don't know this. Behind the scenes, we don't talk to each other at all, even though we're married. We mostly have this board in our room and throughout the house. If we have any questions to each other, we actually write it on the board. And then that's in passing. We can talk to our kids and whatnot, but we can't talk to each other. It's a thing like a quirky little couple thing that we have. And no one believes us, but that's how we talk. Yeah. But how are you? This is the only time we actually talk is on the podcast, on these podcast episodes. Again, how are you?
I'm fine. I don't know what to say.
Oh,
your nose looks nice.
Oh yeah. So before the episode, I have a lot of like weird. I don't know what you call these.
They're not weird. It's you have blackheads.
I have blackheads on my nose and exfoliate, and then we tried this coal type.
This is a
bandage.
This is a Biore strip. That's a charcoal one.
You can't say the brand name. They're not sponsoring us.
I can say whatever
brand name I want. That's the episode rules. You have to say. You know, when you said that brand name, I'm just going to blank it out with a beep. And then people are like, oh, which one? What is he using on his nose? They'll never know. But
no one cares.
Yeah, no one cares. If you have that money.
But your nose is shiny now.
Right? Yeah, it's shiny. But it didn't take a lot of the blackheads away. It took everything off your nose. Yours is like shiny.
Can I wash my face?
Oh, well, okay. Before we continue, I want to let everyone know, I do wash my face and my body. I mean, I only use water, and I only have this little bucket in the bathtub that I only use. Mm-hmm. And I just put it on my face.
Rag
on the stick. Not even a stick. I can't afford a stick. It's just a rag. And the rag is probably like 2x2. And 2x2 is 2 inches by 2 inches. Mm. That's how big the thing.
How do you measure that out?
With two of my fingers. My finger is actually 1 inch long. So I just have to put 2 fingers That's together.
Gross.
It's not gross. Yes, it's a 1 inch finger.
How long an inch is?
Yes, I know how long an inch is. I've I've seen a ruler. I've seen a ruler in my time. They don't use that anymore. People use their iPhones. iPhones are exactly like 6 inches
long. Is there a ruler app on the iPhone?
I don't know. That's it's only measure the screen, though, if you think about it.
No, I just keep flipping it around.
Yeah, that's true. Enough about rulers and measurements. What is this? This is what's the study of measurements?
Meteorology.
Let's go to our trailer talk because it's October. We're gonna do everything scary. Every episode will be scary. I declare that, Ben. Every episode has to be scary now. Sorry. I also have a cold, so I sound like I'm slurring my words. I also burnt my mouth.
What'd you burn your mouth?
While eating an enchilada, I cooked it too long at work. And then being a person like, oh, I won't give up. I put it in my mouth. I didn't spit it out. I was like, no, it will cool down.
Yes. Try to bring in cold air.
I was by myself, so no one like saw me. Like it looked like I was like just that's my Adam Sandler impression.
Did you burn your tongue or inside?
Inside.
Cheek?
So it's under a little bit of my tip of my tongue and below, behind the back of my bottom teeth.
Jesus Christ, let's get all the way back there. Is that why your throat hurts?
No.
Open it again? What's that giant bump there? What are these?
Those are my bone. Those are literally bones.
Those aren't weird teeth?
No, you have those too. Oh, no, you don't. I think these my teeth are bad in the bottom before. I had braces when I was a kid, but I always had those.
Open again. I've never seen that. Open. And look. Your bone, I see it's white. Uh-huh. Are you sure?
The dentist never mentioned. I even asked them, "What is that?" It's just bone. I was like, okay.
So if it was scary and we cut it off your head.
Oh,
and then we put it in acid.
Oh,
to dissolve the flesh a bit.
That will show up. Yeah,
and then we have your skull, right?
Mm-hmm.
With your mandible and stuff, and then we give it to those people who recreate. The people from just a skull?
Uh-huh.
Do you think that it would look like you?
Kind of. Or it would look like my twin brother. They just saw...
Do you think based on your skull, they know, like, your ethnicity and, like, your hair and your...
Probably. A little bit. Not hair. I find
those things hard to believe when they do that. They reconstruct.
But they do a great job. Like, I only saw, like, a couple of episodes on American Most Wanted.
How do they know, though?
I don't know. It's just...
I'm not talking about like, the people like who recently died. I'm talking about like you know like mummies and.
Oh yeah. I don't know about that. Yeah. I think we're really off topic now.
Well, mummies are scary.
Oh yeah, they are scary. Mummies.
And daddies.
We watched that too. But let's go to our trailer talk. So this week's trailer is actually a new film on Netflix.
Is it a film or a series?
I think it's a series. Oh, it's a new series on Netflix called The Haunting of Hill House.
Bad dream. Of course I'd wake you.
That was a weird pause. I went straight to the trailer. I just said the word Haunting of Hill House and went to the trailer in the awkward, weird way. So this series is actually directed and created by Michael Flanagan. I've checked his profile on IMDb. It's basically it's a camera. We're looking at the photo or the profile right now. But he directed a lot and wrote a lot of horror centric movies and series. One of them is the Ouija. He also did the Oculus.
Isn't Gerald Game a scary movie?
I think so. No, I think it evolves SMM.
Who?
SNM. I don't know what's abbreviated or what those. It's latex and whips and stuff like that. Are you just want me to explain S&M?
Sure.
I really don't know what.
I'd like to hear
submission
your...
and money. I don't know.
Submission and money is exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, he's known for to do that. The series is based on the novel of The Haunting Hill House by Shirley Jackson. That's all it says on IMDb, so I have no idea what's the actual story. The series stars McKenna Grace, Carla Gugino, Michael Huntsman, Timothy Holtzman. Hudson, Violet McGraw, Victoria Pedretti, Henry Thomas, Lulu Wilson, Julian Hillard.
That's enough.
It's weird. I didn't even say the actual main star in here that I've seen.
McKenna. Isn't it McKenna?
I think, yeah, this one. Yeah.
She's in other scary stuff, huh?
Yeah, she's in a lot of, like, this type-centric or, mm-hmm. What do you call it, genre-type films. So, how did you think about the trailer? Or how did you think about the trailer? That came out wrong. What did you think about the trailer?
But how did I think about it? I used my brain.
That's how I thought about it, too, my brain. Yeah. What did you think about the trailer?
It reminded me of, what's that thing called that we liked? American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. That it looks like I couldn't tell if it was an anthology or if it's just supposed to, it's going over time.
I think it's over time. It seems like different people living in that house and how it affected all those different people. But it goes
reminds me of the first story from American Horror Story.
Yeah, that one takes place in the 90s, and they do flashbacks of all the people living in that house. That crazy house. I forgot what it's a actual murder house. That crazy house. Crazy house is a different one.
Yeah. So what? So it's just people. It doesn't look like a ghost, really.
No.
It's something that's making the family do it to each other, whatever it is. It looks scary.
It looks psychologically or.
Psychological,
yeah, type thriller, mm-hmm. type movie that maybe there is like monsters and other like strange stuff about inside the house.
It seems like it's a spirit that, like, wants you to kill yourself type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're doing. The little monologue of that little girl was pretty creepy.
So in the trailer, both the son and daughter has these little monologues saying, "Oh, we had this bad dream. Will you wake us up?" And then the dreams are. Look like from the future of how they will die. And then they ask the mother, "Will you wake us up?" And they do the little, like, cut to them growing up and the dreams are actually happening and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Then they do this one scene of a family entering. It's like a whole different family. They don't even look like the same time of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I pointed out in the trailer for you is that the kid has the exact same pillowcase, the Ninja Turtle pillowcase that I still have. Our kid has it right now, but it's the one I slept on when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie already has a personal connection to me.
Did you also want to poison yourself slowly just so that you could die?
Who's to say that I did it not?
You did it not.
do that. But they do this really cool scene near the ending about like a piano hitting the keys repeatedly, and there's just flash of all these weird mm-hmm. scenes and stuff like that I really enjoyed. It looks like a really cool, scary, stylized haunted house type.
Yeah, it makes me want to watch. It reminds me of how much I really enjoyed the first season of American Horror Story, mm-hmm. that type of haunted thing.
Before it went too crazy.
I don't know. We watched the second one. We didn't even get through the second one, did we? Yeah, no. We watched the first second one. The third one, we didn't even get through. We haven't watched it.
The third one is the clown.
No, the third one was the witches.
Witches? Oh, well.
And the fourth one is the
clown
one. And then the fifth is Lady Gaga.
Hotel, yeah. I don't know how many scenes there are already, but will you watch that series on Netflix with me?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know how many episodes is it, but it looks
Are you saying, like, do I have to watch it together?
No, yeah. Well, you have time now in the day to watch it.
Yeah, we're on different schedules.
Yeah.
Are you going to be offended? Or is it something you want to do together?
No, we can watch it separately and just talk about
it. No, we can do it together, but it just will have to wait.
Yeah. And the weekends. If we just
Well, is it going to release or do you know?
It's one of those. It's releasing this month, but I don't know.
But all together?
Yeah, I think they're still doing the bulk release.
And what I found interesting, too, is that it was a Netflix horror
production. Yeah, so that's why
it's a whole separate thing. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is the start of, like, I don't know if Stranger Things will have that, too. I don't think so, but I don't even know when Stranger Things come out, because they usually come out during Halloween, around Halloween.
Do they?
Yeah.
Did they say there was a season 3?
There is a season. They have a trailer of season 3. Oh, no, they haven't. I'm thinking about season 2 still, but yeah. Moving on. What have you been doing the last couple of months? we're not going to do like every single thing that we've been watching. I have a long list of things that I've been watching in the last 2 months and doing, watching Red Play Red and Watch Play Red makes John a dull boy. No.
Makes John a doughboy.
Yeah.
The thing that I enjoyed the most was the new season of BoJack Horseman.
Oh, yes. So the new season of BoJack Horseman came out. I don't even know what you call that. Or what season is this?
I believe
it's 5-2. So you're a huge fan of BoJack Horseman. I am not as big a fan as you. I've seen episodes, but scattered in my head. Like, I don't have them in order or don't remember every little thing about it. Season 5. So we'll discuss season 5 of BoJack. In your way, so we've never really discussed BoJack on the show. So if you are wondering what is it or on this episode or on this podcast, BoJack is basically was a star of a hit TV show called Horsing Around in the 90s. And now he's washed up living in Hollywood, complaining about everything and wearing colorful sweaters. That's what it says on the IMDb page of the thing. It stars Will Arnett, Amy Sedaris, Alison Brie, Aaron Paul, and Paul F. Tompkins. Those are the top five people on the show, you can say. Yeah. So how did you like season 5 of BoJack Horseman?
It's super emotional. It was getting sad. Like, has to.
Is this the saddest season, judging from you?
Yes, because it's not fun no more. It's real now.
Oh, so this feels the most realistic about everything.
It's not fun, fun antics or whatever. It's now things are getting real. Things are being, all his behaviors are now affecting other people, and it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
His half sister, and then the girlfriend, or one of his girlfriends. His addiction is now out of control.
And what is his addiction?
It's alcohol and pills.
Well, yeah. So I never knew in the past he had an addiction to pills.
I think this one they highlight more. I think that's more new because he got in a car accident, and it was a way to numb.
He got into many accidents, not just a car accident in the show. And he just kept on getting the pills. And he was really addicted. It is, so, the way this is the first time I actually watch every episode in the season. I would watch bits in here. How's the saying go, that phrase?
What's your brain doing today?
Bits of here. I don't know. I embroidered. I embrace Ben in me, where he gets confused sometimes. I would watch seasons here and there, or episodes here and there with you. And I get the story, like, I understand it, but I'm always, like, occupied with something else. And it's not a thing that I watch, like, right away and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I just heard really a lot of good things about the season, and I just wanted to be in that conversation with you watching it. a lot of episodes were very different from one another. That's what I liked. Each one played differently. Like one of the episodes I really liked was an episode called Free Churro.
Yeah,
I don't want to ruin that episode. I think it's one of the best episodes I've seen in any series, just because it's a good character piece for Will Arnett and his character BoJack, and how he thinks, or how he literally just thinks. And then I think the punchline of that episode is the best punchline I've seen in a long time in a series. Is there any episode that highlights that you liked a lot?
I just the season in general. I mean, we've always known that he's had a hard time, and it seems like, well, why are you any different? Why do you get to be sad and use all these things as a crutch when everyone else has to work through it and adult through it? But we can kind of see how things have come to a head with his mother dying and all these other things, like all his friends around him too. I think the thing with Mr. Peanut Butter really surprised me.
He has a great episode too, Mr. Peanut Butter. It explains literally the history of BoJack and Mr. Peanut Butter and all their friends. In this one episode, they use a like almost like this sounds weird, but it almost feels like spontaneous nation type.
Yeah.
So the person, Mr. Peanut Butter, is played by Paul F. Tompkins, or
PFT.
He's one of our famous comedians, but he also has this podcast called Spontaneous Nation.
Spontaneous Nation.
Okay, you'll say it. I won't say it anymore.
Point to me when you mean to say it.
So in the podcast, they use this mechanism of improv in which they time jump. They do present, past, and future.
Everyone gets it.
Yeah, everyone gets it. And this episode is like really highlights that type of way of telling a story, because they flashback and future and whatnot of Mr. Peanut Butter and his life and how he basically is very attached to certain type of women, and we learn that really fast, and it's like, oh, okay. And it's kind of cool.
It's him trying to hold on to his youth.
Yes. And he's like 40-something in this show.
And then realizing that's not what he really wants anymore, but...
But he's still stuck there and stuff like that. That's a great episode, too.
I think this season, too, related to a lot of... I don't know if we're just getting older, but I see a lot of situations and circumstances that are now showing in our own lives, too. Not personally, but we know people who are coming in contact with certain situations and having to come to grips with reality and certain things, and it's real.
So before that, before we end this BoJack discussion, I do want to say there's one episode that was not strange, but it was very different. It was called The Dog Days Are Over. It's about Alison Brie character. I didn't realize this, actually. So like I said, I only watched like here and there episodes. I didn't realize she's actually an Asian character on the show that's played by Alison Brie. And Alison Brie is white. So that was kind of weird. And I guess in the past, the creator of the show, I forgot his name. I totally forgot. Oh, Ralph Bob Wachsberg, does admit, like,
that's a writer.
But I think he's one of the creators too of BoJack too. But he's spoken about this, saying that he does feel bad that she's playing an Asian woman and she's not represented by an Asian woman and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So that episode is very odd, because that episode takes place in Vietnam, and she is basically, minor spoilers, trying to reconnect to her culture, but she can't, because she didn't grow up as a Vietnamese woman. She grew up as an American Asian person.
Boston family.
Yeah. And she doesn't know the language that well. And she just, it's almost that fish out of water type story, but your water, you actually belong in that water, but you still don't feel that connection. Mm-hmm. I have a similar thing, because I'm Filipino-American, but I was born in the Philippines, came here in America, got citizenship, but I don't speak any of my language, Tagalog, Ilocano, whatever.
Barely speak English.
Yeah, I barely can speak English. And then just seeing that episode, it connected a little bit to me, because I was like, yeah, I don't really know my culture. But at the same time, I'm like in between two different cultures. Like, I do have a Filipino, and every time I go to my Filipino family, any family house, most of my family are, well, not actually, no, we all married different people. There are people who are not Filipino. Like, I think only one of us actually married a Filipino, and that's my brother, and that's it. And technically, my twin brother is going to get married too, to a Filipino too. But yeah, everyone else is very different from different cultures and stuff like that. That's kind of cool. But so I just want to point. So we actually linked a article written by Lee Lee. Oh, I'm going to mess this up. I don't know how to say this, her name at all.
Len Lee.
On our Twitter feed called Diane Nguyen and the Vietnamese Americans Deserve Better Representation. The article basically discussed about that issue. I was talking about how they have Alison Brie playing an Asian American. If you read the article, it gets to the point of like they could have hired someone to help out, or if they did, they still didn't do a better job at representing that culture and stuff. It's a good article. You can see it on our Twitter page if you want to read the link. It's at whereyourvoicemag.com. I think I'm saying that word, that website right, right?
Where yeah.
Your voice
W-E-A-R.
Mag. Yes, .com. Well, where, let me start again. Whereyourvoicemag.com. Yeah, just check that out after you watch that episode. It gives you a little bit insight of like the process of how we can have more representation behind the camera, you can say. Yeah, moving on to other stuff. Is there any more stuff that you want to discuss?
No.
Nothing else?
Are you leading me into something?
Not really.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what you watch that you say, like, oh, I want more people to watch or listen to this or read this thing. Oh, there's something that you read. This is off the... actually off my head, I just yes, my friend Dahmer, you actually read this. It's a graphic novel that my brother, it's actually a film too. I didn't know it was a film.
Already? I mean that has already been released, or it's going to be released.
It looks like it already released. Yeah, 2017. I've never even knew that they had a thing. So we're talking about the comic book My Friend is Dahmer. I don't know if the writer is part of that movie. It is written by, I'm trying to find the person's name right now. This is like a last minute thing I'm doing. Oh, okay. So yeah, it's by John Backdurf. So his nickname is Durf. It was a 2012 graphic novel. It's basically like a memoir by him. He's an artist and writer. And it's about Jeffrey Dahmer. He was friends with him when they were young. And he basically recounted all the stories with Jeffrey Dahmer and how it led to him actually not murdering, but leading to his psyche of how he became a serial killer, basically. And then after reading that, this is a long time ago. I remember reading the book and I really enjoyed it. But how about you? What did you think about the book?
I liked it. I liked how they, he said that a lot of people have always asked, and he was even personally asked, like right after they found out, or found the bodies in his apartment. Like, how come you didn't do anything? How come you didn't tell anybody? And he's like, back then we didn't know, you know, we were just kids. And they're like, well, you know, where were the adults during all this time? Like, he was obviously drunk. He was killing animals. He had, of course, in hindsight, now, especially now when we grow up, we see these all as obvious signs.
Mm-hmm.
Back then you didn't talk about your sexuality if it was anything but hetero.
Yeah.
You know, and then having he doesn't really describe, because I'm sure he doesn't know, where he got all his necrophiliac feelings with his homosexuality in between. And then putting animals in acid or something just to see the bones. He wants to see the inside. Mm-hmm. It seems like he wants to fix stuff or wants to fix himself.
The art of John Backdurf is really good too. It has this weird, like,
it's a Schoolhouse Rock, right?
Yes, like 70s type of look. Like long faces, big eyeballs. It's very trippy at times, the way he draws. Like, it's not a perfect person, the way. And
they show drawings from when he was at that age too, and he's an artist. You know.
So that his art style really lends to the story. Like, that's what your mindset is and stuff. Did you like a prologue? Or what's the thing you call the...
The epilogue?
The epilogue, the ending of the book?
I don't know if I read it.
The part where they call up and...
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
Guess who's on TV? Yeah. And then he shows that he actually guessed someone else. Before Dahmer.
The weirdest weirdo.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe he was just hoping it wasn't his friend.
Mm-hmm. And then it turned out to be Dahmer. And I was like, oh, that's insane. Like, you got that call and turned out to be the other person, not the one that you look like plain sight is the one that is the serial killer. But yeah, check that out. I guess it's a movie now from last year called My Friend Dahmer. I don't know anything about the movie. I don't know if it's a good movie or bad movie, but this graphic novel is really good. It's by John Bachter called My Friend Dahmer. Moving on, stuff I've done. I did, like I said, I watched a bunch of stuff. I don't know if I want to discuss everything that I watched.
You want to just list the way you can remember?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's start my freaking awesome list of the last 2 weeks.
All right.
I watched Jurassic World.
Oh, so we're just, okay, yeah.
So I enjoyed that. These are really quick. They're not. We're gonna go into detail. Jurassic World. The sequel to Jurassic World. Jurassic World, The Fallen Kingdom is the sequel to Jurassic World. Same people, almost. They added two other characters that were not really useful in the story, besides one's a hacker and one's an activist or a doctor activist type person. The movie's so silly. It's not Jurassic Park anymore.
It seemed completely unnecessary. The whole thing, I think it was just they wanted to do social commentary about what was going on. When you mentioned the sassy girl, they're like, you know, oh, she's a nasty woman, you know.
Oh, yes, he literally, one character says, you know, a nasty woman
who has rights to these people, yep. You know, the animals, the people.
But so it's fun just watching it and seeing these characters interact with the dinosaurs that we know since Jurassic Park, but at the same time, they are saying goodbye to Jurassic Park, not the park itself in the movie, but saying to the franchise, like, whoever, if you're on board of this train right now to Jurassic World, welcome aboard. But if you don't want this, get off the train and then welcome to Jurassic World. This is the series now. There's dinosaurs everywhere. There's these mutant dinosaurs. We can't stop it. The guy from SVU. I always forget his name.
The
psychologist from SVU. Dr. Wan? Woo-woo? Is it? Yeah. So he's in the movie still. He's like the connected tissue of all these series, I'm assuming.
I don't like how he turned all evil.
Yeah, me too. I don't get that turn.
So
that,
godlike.
Mm-hmm. But he's still out there, apparently. Minor spoilers, he is still out there. it's a good movie. I won't say, like, rush to it. I enjoyed it only because I liked all the little scenes they had, but a lot of it was really bad CGI. There's a horrible, horrible CGI moment. I just like threw my hands up, like, I'm done. Like, this is too much. I have nothing else to say about the movie. What else I watched? I said I watched a whole bunch of stuff, but now
we watched Half a Mouse Hunt.
Oh. I want to say Mouse Hunt later. So put that a pin on that. I don't want to talk about that. I really want to talk about that in the future, but not right now. What else did we rent? I feel like we rented. Oh, I watched Mandy. It's a Nicolas Cage movie. That's really good. It has this weird, like, 70s type filmmaking that I really like. It has really good music. It's a trippy movie about Nicolas Cage going, not crazy, but he is, if you like John Wick and you want to see Nicolas Cage in that scene or in that type of movie, watch
this movie.
It's
in 83?
Huh?
It's in 1983?
Yeah. The movie takes place around the 80s. It has a lot of scenery about the, like, hippie movement or, like, what are hippies now doing in the 70s?
How is his receding hairline? Is it there or is it totally up front?
It looks like his real hair. Like
they didn't give him that dark ass black wig like they did in that.
No. He still has like really long and wavy hair, but it looks more natural than the other one. Because he plays this like woodsman 80s guy that loves metal rock and stuff like that. So you'll
rock metal?
Huh? Metal rock.
Metal rock.
No, he likes actually the physical metal and rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a really good film. I think that's worth watching if you want, in the spirit of Halloween, that's a good watch, I say. I feel like I watch other things. Oh, I watched you watched too, to get ready for The Nun, we watched Annabelle Creation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you watched that with me.
I
enjoyed that. It's a little, like, little haunted house movie. Mm-hmm. And it helped us prepare about The Nun in the way in which how these stories will be told and how they're connected. Because they do the exact same thing as The Nun, like, towards the ending, they connect everything. Like, mm-hmm. they do, like, oh, yeah, we have to do this. This is still in The Conjuring. And they're, like, hurrying up and shuffling papers. Like, we had this one character here. We could put that character in this moment. And it's all connected. And that's how the Annabelle Creation. But I like it overall of, like, it's similar to The Conjuring of, like, these family of kids together. And they're mm-hmm. trying to get the demons out. And that's, I always like that. It's a cool haunted house movie. Can't think of anything else. I'm trying to think of, like, happy things I watch. Like, things you can watch with your kids and stuff like that. No, I think we
talked about Hereditary already, right?
Yeah, we talked about that.
I think before that.
So, let's move on to the video games I played. Real quick, I played Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man. If you want to say Marvel Spider-Man, I guess.
What is it called? The new Spider-Man?
No, it's called Marvel Spider-Man. I came out on the PS4 a couple of weeks ago. It's created or developed by Insomniac. I'm going to say that name wrong.
Where?
Insomniac Games.
Insomniac.
It's published by Sony, so it's you only can play this game on Sony. In the odd way, because Sony has the rights to Spider-Man, the character, and I guess in video game and movies, that they're the only ones who can produce it or make stuff for him. So, if you like Spider-Man, like I am, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, this is a game for you. It's very much... So, I've never really played the Batman Arkham games, the ones that it's like a beat-em-up punch thing, whatever.
I watched those.
You watched those? Mm-hmm. So, I've never really played it. I think I never really got into them. So, I played... I forgot which one. I played probably like 10 minutes of it and just dropped it because I wasn't really invested in the character of Batman. I don't find him too appealing in the video game form. Like, I like his movies, the comic books and everything, but playing him as like, okay, I'm done. Oddly enough,
because it's so punchy,
it's just really punchy. It's just him punching, that's it.
He's a man.
Yeah, I didn't have any upgrades, so I don't know if you actually do more. Like, you can throw bangarang, who am I, like a hook or something, bangarang. So I was really not invested. Spider-Man, though, I enjoyed the character and his moves and just swinging around everywhere. Also, I've never played the beloved PS2 Spider-Man 2 game that came out with Bruce Campbell and Tobey Maguire. Mm-hmm. I never played those, so I have no affinity, or what do you call that? Like
Affinity
to that game. So I thought the only game I played that had Spider-Man in it, it was an N64 game, and that was like a long time ago. I don't. It had this weird animation I didn't really enjoy. But this one has everything that I want. I really love the story. It's one of the best Spider-Man stories I've ever told. It has everything that I want, from how Mary Jane is rare, different. She actually plays a good role in here. She's not just a model or a club owner, or these are all like the jobs she had, a secretary to Mr. Stark, or not even secretary, like I forgot she was in the comic books recently. She's actually a journalist, and then she wants to be a better journalist, investigator and stuff like that, that works at the Daily Bugle. Peter Parker is not part of the Daily Bugle. He actually works with this scientist. I won't say. It's a really cool reveal when they reveal who's the scientist he's working with, or the person he's with. I thought that was a cool twist. And the villains are really fun to play against. They all have these different stages they have. And I thought that was kind of cool. I thought it would be like this oddly... what's an example that I've always heard? It's like, I don't know if you ever played Mega Man. So in Mega Man, you have to pick a bad guy. And then you play the stage of the bad guy, and you fight the bad guy at the ending. But each stage is different. So like there's a wood man, a steel man. I don't know off the top of my head. I played only Mega Man X, and it has like an elephant, this chameleon guy, this gorilla person. But those are their powers. Just imagine that.
Gorilla person.
It's weird because the half the people I just mentioned, Spider-Man has characters like that. Like chameleon, there's a chameleon. Not in the game.
Gorilla person.
Gorilla person, the rhino, whatnot. But yeah, it's just fun. I really love the gameplay. The gameplay just swing around New York. I've never been to New York. I only see it in movies and TV shows. It looks like New York. There's the the bridge that, or not the bridge. I can't even name off. There's a Sears Tower. I believe no. There's that thing, the building that you see over the Empire State Empire Building. Yeah, building. They actually have the Twin Tower, the memorial, the actual building there, mm-hmm. but it's different. It's way different from the actual memorial building.
They acknowledge it.
I didn't do this, but I've seen people do it in the game, Let's Plays I've seen, because I always wonder. So I didn't really venture off. I was mostly playing it for the story. The story is about 12 hours long. That's all I want. It's just a really good story. I got that. But there's so many collectibles. Like, throughout the game, so many things pop out on your map, to the point where there's hundreds of stuff that's on your map. It gave me a little bit of like anxiety, to the point where, to like Breath of the Wild, where
you can't like turn that kind of stuff off.
You can turn it off, but it makes you like, I want to know why, like, if you're swinging around, I see something beeping. I was like, it's just, you know, it's just this will just take me 1 minute to get this. So I'll just go there. And the thing that I really liked was the backpacks. With the backpacks, when you get them, they're hidden all over the place in New York. Apparently, he had money to afford all these backpacks. I don't know how. But each backpack had an item, and each item represents something in his history. So the comic books, the movies, yeah, everything. And that was cool. I really liked that in the story. If you guys are huge Spider-Man fans and you have a PS4, I say go out and get that, and you really enjoy
everything. Or you can borrow your nephew's
PS4. So the way, I don't have a PS4, too. I don't have a lot of stuff. I have never... It's oddly... This is a game for me of the year, because I've been anticipating this when they announced it. Only because in the announcement trailer, they actually show Miles in the thing, and I really wanted to see how they portray Miles. And I enjoyed how they portray Miles, and I can't wait for Spider-Man or Marvel Spider-Man 2 whenever it comes out. But yeah, I didn't have a PS4, so I have to borrow my nephew's, rent the game on Gamefly. Hey, Gamefly, if you want us to sponsor us, we're our devoted members, I guess. Consumers to Gamefly. And I actually have to buy a PS4 remote, because my nephew wouldn't let me borrow his remote. It's okay. I understand, because he uses it for his PC, and that's his main gaming console is a PC. And so I had to buy a remote, and I kind of returned it afterwards. I feel bad because I only borrowed it for 3 days. But it's okay, because...
you didn't tell your wife you had to buy all the stuff just so you can play a game.
I didn't buy... I only bought the remote, that's it.
I know, but I didn't even know you bought the remote.
Oh, yeah.
And then all I knew was that you were just returning
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have to go return it right now. I'm like, what are you doing?
So that's Sony's Marvel Spider-Man. That's out on the PS4. Go check it out. I enjoyed it a lot. The next thing, this last thing before the nun. This seems like a very long episode. I know. I had a whole bunch of stuff to get off my chest in the last 2 weeks. And my nose. Call back to earlier. Is the game Fortnite Season 5. It has ended. There's cubes everywhere. The cubes dissolve, whatnot. Time travel's gone. The loot lake is purple. You can bounce on it. Now it's not. It's actually in Season 6. It's floating now. But I'm just going to discuss Season 5. Enjoyed it a lot. It's a game I didn't really spend money on. I spent like $5 on for the season pass, because I had like $5 extra. I mean, technically, I spent $10 to play this game. I spent over 150 hours already playing this game. Is
just you or you and Lennox?
Me, just on my profile alone. Excuse me, I'm like burping a little bit. But yeah, I enjoyed. There's like a game type. There it goes again. Mm-hmm. The burp. There was a game type that I really enjoyed. There's several. There's one that we actually have a video on our YouTube page at The Freaking Awesome. You can check that out. Right now, it's probably our last video about Fortnite, because they disabled the recording thing on the Switch that you can't just record on Fortnite anymore. And that's how I record all my gameplay. I will push that button and then record the last 30 seconds. But I can't do that anymore. So I kind of like stopped playing the game because I can't record the cool kills and cool stuff that I play with my family. But you can go to our YouTube page, just search The Freaking Awesome and Fortnite, and it should show up somewhere there. It's our second video of Fortnite, and yeah, it's just my brother and I and other friends just playing the game. So I forgot to say the game types I really liked. There's one where you use a jetpack and rockets. That was really fun. There's one also where it's like a heist game where there's like four diamonds all around the island. You get one of those diamonds with your group, and you have to leave on a bus that's spread around throughout the map. And you have to be successful because someone can kill you, steal the diamond, and the bus are like hovering on the sky, so you have to build towards it. And I thought that was really fun because it actually made you have to build. Because most of the time when I play, I don't really build. I just start shooting and that's it. I don't play Fortnite as the way Fortnite is intended. I'm not a samurai or a cowboy or there's that popular YouTuber, I forgot, he's like one of those like old historian type combat military person, but never mind. You know, you won't understand it because you know.
Like a knight?
No, that's a good one. That's a knight too. I should call myself knight. But yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. It's fun. It's just a fun game to play with your friends to fool around, and yeah. But this might be the last time I'll be discussing it on the podcast because they have season 6. I'm not going to keep saying, oh, season 6 is here, check it out. So this is goodbye Fortnite. I'm actually, let's do this real quick. I'm just going to add it to the freaking awesome list right now. Fortnite season 6, because I have so much memories of playing it with my family and stuff like that. I'll just add it here right now. Type. I'm just gonna add it right there. Let's move on to the main discussion. We're already like 40 plus hour minutes in our podcast. So our main discussion is part of the Conjuring universe, and that movie is called The Nun.
I had a series of visions when I was younger, and after each one ended, the same thought would be stuck in my head.
What did you see?
I saw a nun. Word of my visions reached the church, and I was asked to accompany a priest to an abbey in Romania.
The abbey has a long history.
Valak.
Not all.
Here.
That was a clip of a trailer of The Nun. We try to make it the scariest clip on the face of our planet, or in this
the
episode.
Face of our planet.
Face of our planet.
About your planet. Our planet's scary.
So, if you don't know anything about The Nun, it's a priest with a haunted past and a novice.
There you go.
On the threshold of her final vows, are sent by the Vatican to investigate the death of a young nun in Romania and confront a malevolent force in the form of a demonic nun.
Demonic.
Directed by Carl Hartley, written by Gary Dublin and James Wan. He is credited by StoryWise. Starring Damien Bichar.
I love how you're like,
Tessa Farinaga, Jonas Bluck, Bonnie Ahrens, who plays the titular nun. I don't want to say that word.
Titular
nun. And Ygritte Blusey.
That was a man that played it.
Nope. It's
It's not the same woman that's in the very beginning scene, is it?
Yes. No. She doesn't show her face. She's also, fun fact, Bonnie Ahrens also plays that weird, creepy portrait picture in It.
Oh.
That's her, too. That's
why can't she only be pictures?
I don't know. She has a very distinct face. It's her nose that's very distinct. And
I was about to ask, I'm like, why does a nun have to be such a crooked nose, like a beat up nose? But that's just her.
I'm wrong. She doesn't play that thing in It. I thought she did. I swore I saw a story about that. She was in a story similar to that. Or yeah, cross
can,
that out.
Can I see your face again?
Oh, you want to see her face? Yeah, I see. And this is silence while we watch a picture, or see a picture of Bonnie Aaron's face.
It's very, very. It looks like the Tim Burton's penguin.
Oh yeah, but yeah. So we watched this. I thought it was going to be an empty theater for a moment.
It was up to the last minute.
It started filling up, and then it was like a modest, probably 40 people. I was not even 40, probably high 20s, low 30s people. Fun. So we discuss this, my experience in the movie theater, not in the movie theater, but. There was a trailer I showed before watching of Halloween.
I watched it.
I didn't watch it because I don't want to know anything about that movie. I literally closed my eyes. It's the only time I ever closed my eyes in a horror movie. I'm not gloating. Look at me. I'm not scared. I do get scared. That's the part. That's why I watch it and don't try to close my eyes because I want to see it and get scared. But this one, I literally closed my eyes. It sounded like an awesome movie. I don't know anything about what's happening, but it sounded really good. Like, just hearing the voices, especially
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis and her sayings in the... I can't say it right now, but she said something that I was like, what? She says that? Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised. But yeah, I enjoyed that trailer. Or enjoyed hearing that trailer. Let's go back to the nun. So... we will spoil the movie. If you don't want to know anything about it, stop the thing right now. I will say that I enjoyed the movie. I liked it. If I have to rank it, it's probably the Conjuring, Conjuring 2, Annabelle Creations, Annabelle... I'm saying that wrong. Conjuring, Conjuring 2, Annabelle Creations, The Nun, and Annabelle. And I'm not saying they're... is going by worse and bad. I enjoy all the movies, but Annabelle was really not that bad, but it's the lowest of my list because I didn't enjoy it as much. But I enjoyed this movie more than Annabelle, and I had more fun. I have way more fun in The Nun. I forgot to mention, have you watched all The Conjuring, or only know of what I'm telling you about the movie?
I watch stuff on YouTube.
Okay. Do you watch those things like the nun in 10 seconds, like that type of things?
No, not 10 seconds.
Oh, okay. 10 minutes?
Maybe.
Oh, okay. Or do you watch Conjuring Universe
Explained? That's how I found about new movies what was the one horror movie that I saw on there that I wanted to watch? Oh, we saw Murder House, remember? Or Murder Party.
Oh, yeah, we watched that. That's a good one. Watch it on Netflix. I won't say anything about it. It has a very funny scene. I think it's one of the funniest scenes I've seen in a long time in a horror movie. You'll see it when it happens. It's on Netflix right now, I believe, right? We watched Netflix? It's on Netflix. Don't let the image... there's the box art image of Netflix. Oh, I just realized that. Netflix should have... box art on their screen, so it looks like you're renting videos off Blockbuster. That would be really cool if they did that. We're off track again, sorry. So The Nun, what did you think about The Nun and your thoughts?
I liked it. I did think it was kind of silly. How you kind of mentioned it was silly. Like you said, you liked it. I think you had more fun with it because it was silly.
Yeah.
And I think it's inherently silly because it's exclusively all about religion.
Yeah, yes.
And religious scary movies tend to be, it seems like that hits people more because for them it feels like it could be real because they believe in that. I don't know why it took them so long to realize that they were all alone in the place.
In the castle?
The abbey.
Yeah. I think... So that scene with the What do you call her? Her name is Sister Irene in the thing. So she's not a nun yet. She's hasn't taken her vows. So her final vows. So in the movie, she's with all these nuns. And then the little twist in the movie is that she's all alone in the castle. That's abandoned crusade castle that's in Romania. The Abbey. Yeah. That's the twist in the movie. That didn't feel like a big twist for me, but it was like, oh, okay, I get it, because...
the one thing I didn't like was that, why do they open the door in the first
place? So, yeah, if you can comment on this episode, we have no idea. I've been looking for this answer to this question.
Have you?
Yes, on YouTube, everywhere.
And
no one mentions it at all.
They knew they need the relic, yeah. And they didn't have the relic when they went down there. They could have just dissolved the dude right then.
Yes. So, I'm not going to like explain the whole movie. The beginning scene of the nun is these two nuns going to the door where Valak, the evil nun that's from the Conjuring universe, that you see.
Do you think it was a nun when it was in there? Or once the nun went in there, then it took the...
Oh, maybe. Yes, nun. Yes. Actually, that's actually a good idea.
Because when he's reading the book that says Valak, it looks like a demon.
No, yeah, so Valak is a demon. It's not a nun.
It took
the form of a nun. So maybe that is the white reason why it took the form of that nun to get that. But it still doesn't explain why the two nuns had the key to open the relic with them. But
well, I know they
why
had,
did they open that door?
Yeah, like, I don't know why they had to go down there to begin with.
Yeah.
I know like one had to go down, or I don't know why they both were going to go down to go see if he was real, still there.
Uh-huh. Are you saying like, hey, Sister blah blah, or Sister, I don't know the names, but hey, let's
well,
just
it's,
go
it's,
down
it's right
there.
After the war, so I think they realized that it had been cracked again, the earth.
Mm-hmm. But they too know that in the past there were nuns that were living there and they died. So why they died by Valak too?
I think the evil had been seeping out or something.
Oh, okay. But still, it doesn't make sense. Why would you open that door? Or was that door even really... Was there a reason that door was even closed? Like, it seems like Valak can just open that door anytime it wants.
Because that key that she used wasn't the key to unlock the door. That key was
to
use
the relic. To unlock the relic, yeah.
Right?
But,
and I understand why she had... Like, they knew if one got taken, then the other one had to go kill themselves. Because they couldn't have a human host.
Yes.
But
it needs a nun's pure host or whatever it was.
No, only a bride... Of Christ can wield.
Oh,
could
and
wield,
the bride of Christ is a nun.
Yeah, yeah. That could wield the thing of.
The relic.
Yeah, could.
the silly thing that I thought in the movie.
No, the Fabergé egg.
Yeah, so we keep hinting at it. So the relic in the movie. This is the part I thought was really like silly and just off the rails of like everything. They do this storytelling. I forgot who's telling the story. Like this flashback. Someone's flashbacking the story. Explaining the relic, and the relic is shown to be the blood of Christ that's in a, like you said, a Fabergé. What do you call it?
Fabergé egg.
Yeah, egg.
It's in a little glass vial across, and then that's inside of a Fabergé.
But they've never done this in the Conjuring universe where they have to tell a story and have this weird, like MacGuffin of a object that has to kill the demon. It's always something different.
The last nun, or the nun that went to go hang herself, she had to hold the key because that's the only thing that would give the people...
Yes, yeah.
You know,
an idea, what is it? Yeah. Like, if she wasn't holding the key, they'll never probably think about the key. And that's kind of weird and scary.
No, but I just don't know why they went down in the first place.
Yes. Besides that,
and
I don't know.
Why would they take the key? Why would they just not take the relic?
Mm-hmm. Why didn't they just leave the castle? Like, if that...
That's their charge. They have to. They have to do the perpetual praying helps seal the door. Helps them keep them down.
That's why. Okay.
But when all the nuns die, then there's nobody else to do it. And there's not enough. It's like a powerful thing.
But yeah. Besides that gripe, that's the only thing that I have like a weirdly. I don't know why they have that scene. Overall, I did enjoy it. There's a lot of cool scares in here. Mm-hmm.
That little kid fucking bugged me the whole day.
Yeah, so there's a little ghost boy kid in there. One of the scenes I like was a scene with the priest that's underground and he's buried alive. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they do this really cool thing where it's like a race to the bottom. Like Sister Irene is trying to save Father Burke. Those are the two main characters. And there's Frenchie, too. We can talk about Frenchie later, too. And then she's, like, digging. And then he's, like, proud. Or not proud. He's, like, scared. And then there's that thing where back in the day where you ring the bell because you might not be dead. So you attach a bell, a string to a bell on top of your grave. So if you're not dead, you ring the bell in the coffin to, you know, signify that, oh, I'm alive still.
Yeah, I didn't die from the plague.
They play that really cool scene of these bells ringing and stuff like that. But she's digging, and you think he'll be saved, and all of a sudden you hear bumps and scratches all around the coffin he's in. And it's all outside the coffin, but he's underground. And it's Valak trying to get him. And that was a really cool scene. But oddly, he's like buried with the books of the answers to how to stop them. So I was like, what? Like, why is Valak leading them to that thing? You get it? Like, it is kind of odd to that scene, too. Like, well, are you helping them to get rid of yourself, or you just, like...
Well, he had a greater plan than just what the humans had. He knew that they were there to put him down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he...
He's, like, kind of playing with them, too.
That's why he went to Frenchie.
Yeah, so he went to Frenchie, too. He played with that. Frenchie is, like, a character that you've seen in other, like, these type of genre films. He's very comedic character.
Well, he's the audience.
Yes, he's the audience. He's the audience member, and he doesn't know what the hell's happening. He doesn't seem religious at all, and he doesn't believe in ghosts, but he plays a good comedic character throughout the movie.
Do they have comic relief characters in the other movies?
Yes, they do. So in Conjuring 1, there's these two... So the investigator, the Warrens, had these... camera and sound guy. Mm-hmm. They were funny. They were really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't really believe in it, and then they believed in it. But they did a similar thing to it. Annabelle didn't even have any. I don't think anybody's comedic in the Annabelle part movies. But yeah, and just, you know, so like The Conjuring, they do this cool They find a way to get rid of Valak. They get rid of Valak in this cool way that I've never seen before. And you can kind of tell that what was going to happen a little bit. I thought, so the scene is in towards ending, they have Valak and they're in this like underwater cabin. I guess they're not underwater, but there's a whole bunch of water around them. And the priests... Father Burke and Sister Irene and Frenchie are all trying to fight him off and Valak off, and they end up in this little water hole, and then you see the nun like floating on water to, you know, signify like, I'm better than Jesus, I can walk on water too. And for a moment there I thought, oh, this would be a cool way for Father Burke to bless the water, like holy water.
And cast the demon.
Yeah, cast it. I was like, oh, that's gonna be cool. And then you see Sister Irene struggling because Valak is pushing her head down there. And they don't do that. They do this other scene that I thought was kind of cool where you see Valak pushing Sister Irene down the water and you think she's dead. And Valak is like, had that smile, and he takes out the relic, the blood of Christ. And then all of a sudden you notice that the blood of Christ is empty. And you're like, oh, what happened to it? And it turns out Sister Irene had it in her mouth the whole time and spit it at Valak and destroying, killing the monster and or demon and sending it back to hell, I guess. But we later find out towards the end of the movie, he actually possessed Frenchie. And this is how this movie connects to the Conjuring universe. Frenchie turned out to be the Canadian French man from the first movie that you see in the slide that killed or almost killed his wife and shoot off the arm. And they do this weird blending of the faces of Frenchie, the actor. They're played by two different actors, and they just have to retcon the scene to make it more sense into the nun, when they didn't really need to do that. But I guess they to explain how the nun affected the Warrens, because if you see that scene in The Conjuring, the Frenchie grabs I totally forgot her name, not Laura. I always, the Warrens, she's the wife. They grab the arm and I guess possessing her with Valak a little bit too. And that's how she's like the protagonist.
I thought it had to be the snake.
What's the snake?
The snake. That's how he possesses you.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you remember, he put his, oh no. But I don't know. That's why I don't understand how Valak is actually haunting the Warrens. I don't know if the Valak knows, like, oh, they could probably help me and stuff like that, and they just start haunting them. But yeah, that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of another one.
Yeah. Would you watch another one of this if there's like none too?
Yeah.
So there's a thing in the movie that something happens to Father Burke. He loses an eye from a snake. And he gives him this cool looking image. And I was telling you, like, oh, he's probably going to have his own film. And like his own adventures. Mm-hmm. That's what they do with characters where you want them to have like new their own franchise to like this have a distinct look to their face. So he has like a one eye. And I don't know where Sister Irene at this point. Was she still in the church? Or when she went back to Vatican? Or I don't even know where she's from. England. But I don't know where in England.
I don't know. I don't think she's from England.
Yeah. So, fun fact. I want to mention this too. The person who played Sister Irene, Teyasa Farninga.
Farmisha?
Yeah. She's actually the sister of, younger sister of Vera Farminga, who is in The Conjuring. So, Farmisha. The whole time I'm watching this movie, I'm like, she must be the mother of the war.
Yeah, I thought it was her.
Yeah. I was like, she looks like her. And then I didn't know they're related until now. And maybe that is what will happen towards the ending of the series of The Nun, that they're actually connected somehow.
There's probably certain people around the world who are empaths.
Yeah, who they are.
And they're...
So she has a power too. Yeah. The Sister Irene character has a power where she can see the future a little bit, similar to the Warren, Vera plays.
Are empaths in this series only women?
Yeah, yes. Actually, generally, it is. Yeah. Generally, yes. But yeah, that's our Nun impressions and our little review. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope we didn't ruin the movie. I mean, you guys stayed put here and wanted to listen to us talk about that. But yeah, that is all for now.
Mm-hmm.
Where can they find you on the internet?
I don't want to be found this week.
Oh, you don't want to be found this way? You want to be missing?
Yeah.
I want to be found. You can catch me on Twitter at AbayArts. And you can follow us on Twitter at TFA Now, or like us on Facebook and just search The Frickin' Awesome on our Facebook page. We also have a Discord server. You can find a link on our page right now if you want to join that. Remember to subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. I know Google Play like changed something about their site. I have to look into that. But we just search The Freaking Awesome on Google Play. We should show up. If you have any questions or comments about this episode or any episodes in the past, you can contact us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. I just learned too that email address isn't really connected to our real email address to the site. So I had to connect that a couple of months ago. And we realized, like, if anyone's emailing us, they probably had a "this does not exist" email thing. So you can do that now. It works. I tried it out. It works perfectly. And that's it. We usually do this thing where, what do you call that? What thing you want the listeners to check out that we didn't discuss? Like,
I don't know.
Okay. You can check out I don't know.
I don't know.
I have one thing. I haven't even started it, but it's free right now. Check out Marvel's The Long Night. It's Wolverine story about Wolverine. I don't know anything about it. I always hear it.
The podcast?
Yeah, the podcast. I always hear it being described on other podcasts out and telling us like, oh, it's free now on iTunes and every other. I think the first episode is free and then they'll show it or release it weekly. So check that out. It's The Long Night. I think I'm saying that right. I actually don't know. The Long Night Marvel is. I got it right. So check that out if you can. Yeah. So let's say goodbye.
Goodbye.
To our ghostly friends this October.
Aren't ghosts more quiet and menacing?
Ghosts.
Not high pitched, quite.
That's
a, Does he have a cold?
His laryngitis. Yeah. See you guys later, guys.
See anybody.
I don't even know how we ended this before, but yeah. Thank you for listening to all our listeners, and check it out next time. And this was the freaking awesome podcast.